السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. وأصلي وأسلم عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى تابعيهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله العظيم وطاعته، وأحذركم من معصيته ومخالفة أمره ونهيه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Praise be to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His guidance and forgiveness. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever is left without guidance, none can guide besides Allah. We bear witness that there is no one worth worshipping but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His last prophet and messenger. Prayers and peace of Allah be upon Him, upon His companions, upon His followers and their followers till the day of judgment. Ameen. Servants of Allah, have the taqwa of Allah. That is, have the balance between the love of Allah, the respect of Allah, and the fear of the consequences of your actions on the day of judgment. Have the taqwa of Allah and do not die except on the state of Islam, the state of submission to the will and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma ba'd. يقول المولى عز وجل في كتابه الكريم وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath in the Qur'an on a very important fact. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath in the Qur'an, it's not necessary for us to believe because we believe everything Allah says. But when Allah makes an oath on a fact in the Qur'an, He's telling us pay attention to it. He's emphasizing on something that people maybe sometimes some have doubts about it. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in this verse? He says, in the heavens is your rizq, is your sustenance. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. By the Lord of the heavens, it is the truth that your rizq, your sustenance is controlled by a divine order. It's already written in the heaven what rizq you will get throughout your life. When we use the term rizq, it means everything Allah gave you. Your wealth is rizq. Your health is rizq. Your family is rizq. Your clothing are rizq. Your food is rizq. The water you drink is rizq. Your job is a rizq. Your ability to move around is a rizq. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us is a rizq. Your car, your house, your property, everything you have is a kind of rizq. It goes under the term rizq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised and He's made an oath that your rizq is controlled by a divine order. Now, one of the forms of rizq, most people when they say the word rizq, always their mind goes to money. Which is important to understand that money is one of the main forms of rizq. And sadly, money has been a cause of many problems in our lives. So many people cannot sleep at night thinking about money. So many people are stressed out because of money. So many brothers and sisters stop talking to each other because of problems over inheritance. So many community members had a fight because they had a dispute about financial arrangement. So many partners broke up their partnership because of a fight over money. Crime, murder, robbery, even wars, all of it happened because of money. Does that mean money is evil? Absolutely not. Actually, money is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long we control it and we don't allow it to control us. The moment we allow the desire to make money, to make us do wrong things, and to treat people in a wrong way, then it becomes evil. Actually, it becomes a partnership with the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged the shaitan and He said, وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. So, that's a reason for us to talk about money. Another reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of us will step down on the day of judgment from the stage of interrogation. لا تزل قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. None of us will step down from that stage on the day of judgment until we are asked about four things. One of them is our wealth, our money. وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه. We will be asked about every single penny we earned and about every single penny we spent on the day of judgment. Another good reason to talk about it today is that we are starting the new year. And a lot of people have resolutions. And a lot of people just ended their financial paperwork and accounting and ready to file for taxes. So let us do something today. Let us talk about money and let us start our new year with a different perspective when it comes to money as Muslims. Money as one of the forms of rizq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Every single creature that walks on earth, Allah guaranteed its rizq for it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو توكلتم على الله حق توكله لرزقتم كما ترزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتعود بطانا. If you trust Allah the proper way, if you understand the true meaning of trusting Allah, then you will be provided the same way birds are provided. They leave their nests in the morning with empty stomach. They come back at the end of the day with full stomach. So we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed rizq to all creatures. Regardless if you're a good Muslim or a bad kafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed the rizq. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls this concept, a rizq, and part of it is money, what can I do in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can bring me more rizq? What can I do in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will put more blessings in my rizq? Here are five or six things that all of us can do if you are going through financial hardship, if you are going through some shortage of income. Follow these six steps and you'll be amazed how your rizq will be more in this year. The first one, be grateful to God and say Alhamdulillah all the time. Because Allah says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are thankful, I'll give you more. You know, if you're having some difficulty, sit down in the corner of the masjid and spend half an hour, just say Alhamdulillah. You'll be amazed of the result. Another thing that we can do in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to ask Allah. You know, as Muslims, we should not be going begging a bank for a loan or crying to our boss for a raise or trying to cheat our customers to make more income. Just simply ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ. Seek rizq from Allah. One day Al-Hasan al-Basri was going for Hajj or Umrah and he's doing tawaf around the Kaaba. And he saw a man crying, raising up his hand, Ya Allah, give me more rizq. Ya Allah, give me more rizq. Give me more wealth. He felt so bad for him. So he grabbed some money and put it in his hand. The man looked at us like, what are you doing? I don't need your money. I'm very wealthy. But I know that Allah likes it when I ask him. It's part of me acknowledging that I need him. It's part of me admitting that he's the wealthiest. I am poor. That's what it means when you ask Allah. So one of the things you can do is cry to Allah. After you pray jama'ah, after you pray fajr, raise your hand for a few minutes and say, Ya Allah, give me a blessed rizq today. Ya Allah, help me out in my financial situation today. That's another thing you can do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing we can do, number three, is the concept of silatul rahim. To reach out to relatives and treat them in a good way. Why is that? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man arada an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa lahu fi rahimihi fi ajalihi falyasil rahimah." Whoever likes Allah to put more blessing in his rizq and to put more barakah in his life, let him stay on good terms with his relatives. You know, after you leave the masjid, pick up your phone and call a cousin. Call an aunt. Send a text message to a relative. How are you doing? It's been a while since we talked. Let's visit. Let's talk. Let's meet. Some problem's been happening. Let's fix it. This act, amazingly, will have an effect on your rizq. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Another concept or another thing that we can do, number four, is give in charity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. The more you give, the more Allah will give you back. No doubt. I mean, you ask many of us. You attended a fundraising, you attended an event, you give, and Allah give you back. I hear so many stories. People said, I give this charity, and the moment I went back to my office, I signed a deal that I made even more. I did this for a charity. The next day, I got a raise from work. Wallahi, it happens with many of us. Another thing that we can do with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is istighfar. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Where did that come from? There is a verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Prophet Nuh told his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Prophet Nuh told his people, oh my people, say astaghfirullah. What will happen? The result? Allah will open the doors of heaven on you. And he will pour his blessing upon you. When you have a minute, when you're driving to work every day in the morning, the first 5 minutes before you turn on your phone, before you turn on the radio, just spend 5 minutes, say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it 70 times at least every day. Make it a habit. Now someone asks, what is the relationship between istighfar and rizq? Why would I say istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me more rizq? I thought about it for many, many years. And then I found a nice conclusion or a nice connection between this and another hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمَ الرِّزْقَ بِذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبَهِ. That the human being could be deprived rizq because of sins. In other words, Allah's rizq is coming down to us, but when we commit sins, it acts as a block. It stops the rizq from coming to us. So when you say astaghfirullah, you take that block away and you get more rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind. A sixth point or a sixth tool that we can use to increase our rizq is the concept of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. Whoever practices taqwa, Allah will find them way out of distress from places they did not expect, and He will provide for them rizq from places they do not expect. Never ever think that because you are practicing taqwa, in other words, you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will lose money. Never ever think that because you take time off to come to pray Jum'ah, that you lose customers. Never ever think because you say, no, this is haram income, I'm not going to take it, is that you got losing it. Allah will make it up for you. This is something that we need to keep in mind. The more you obey Allah, the more you practice your faith, the more you're righteous, the more Allah will give you. Because Allah says in the Quran, do you believe Allah? Absolutely, we do. Now, someone might say, if I do these six things today, would I walk out from my house and find a big bag full of dollars? No, that's not how it works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily give you extra rizq by giving you dollars. That's not, no. Sometimes it could. Sometimes you do some one of these things, you send an Eid gift to your mother, that's a sadaqah, that's silat al-rahim, that's taqwa altogether. Next day, your boss gives you a raise. Yes, that could happen. But also there are other ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you rizq. For example, He can decrease your expenses in a way or another. For example, your fridge is broken. You need someone to fix it. Maybe it was supposed to be fixed by a certain amount of money. You call the technician to come and fix it. He's stuck. He cannot come. You call somebody else who comes in who fixes it for half of the price. That half of difference is extra rizq from Allah. But we don't think about it that way. Maybe you were supposed to get a flat tire today, and it will cost you several hundreds of dollars to fix it. But because you give charity in the masjid, Allah will prevent you from going through that flat tire experience, and He will save you the money that you were supposed to pay it. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you extra rizq. Another way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you extra rizq by preventing a disaster from happening to you. Maybe it was the qadr that tomorrow, God forbid, your son will get sick and have to take him to the hospital and spend so much money on his medical needs. But because you did salat al-rahim, because you spent 5 minutes saying astaghfirullah today, because you gave some charity, because you thanked Allah, Allah will prevent that sickness from happening and will save you money. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. Another way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help you have extra rizq by putting the concept of barakah in your expenses. How many times you open the fridge and subhanallah, we still have food in the fridge, mashallah. How many times you drive your car around and then you look, you need some gas. Oh, I still have a lot of gas. I can drive more. Where did that come from? That's the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in your expenses, that the $1 can benefit you much more than a normal dollar. So these are things that we can do in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us and can increase our rizq. The concept of ar-razzaq, the provider, is a very important concept. The definition of iman, the definition of faith, what you believe with your heart and you prove with your actions. So when you believe that Allah is ar-razzaq, when you believe that our rizq, our sustenance is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should reflect in your life with practical applications. And that's what we'll talk about in the second khutbah, insha'Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who hear the advice and apply it in their lives. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَيَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى تابعيهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We started this khutbah talking about the concept of rizq, provision or sustenance or everything that Allah gave us. And one of the main forms of rizq is money, wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-razzaq, the provider. And as hopefully we go through this khutbah, and by now we all have a strong belief that it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to work. It doesn't mean then Allah, I'm going to give. No, Allah asks you to go to work. Allah asks you to try your best to earn income. But at the end, it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end, it's what Allah decided will happen. But we are required to do our part. Now, when we believe that Allah is Ar-Razzaq, that Allah guaranteed rizq to all of us, how does that reflect in our lives? How can I practice that concept in my life? There are so many reflections. In the past, we talked about being grateful and have gratitude towards Allah because Allah gave you everything. The concept of tawakkul, the concept of being generous and giving out, all that because Allah is Ar-Razzaq. But there is a very important concept that I'd like us to close this khutbah with today. And as we are entering the new year, that all of us will have this new year resolution. When I believe that Allah is Ar-Razzaq, when I believe that all my wealth comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will try my best to have all my income halal. 100%, not 99%, not 99.9%, 100% halal income. Why? Because if you're going to get it this way or the other way, Allah already guaranteed you're going to get that rizq. Why do you get it the haram way and get the sin when you were going to get it the halal way anyways? This is the beauty of believing in Ar-Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O people, earn your income halal and good. Make sure that the sources of your income are halal and good. What does that mean? What's the difference between halal and good? Halal is when the sheikh tells you, yeah, it's halal. Good is how does it feel in your heart? Is it really halal? Man, sometimes I get people ask me, is it halal to get this kind of business? Is it halal to do this or that? And I do my research, say, yeah, it's halal. But that person could have hid many details about the business that I did not know. And deep in his heart, he knows it's not enough. One day I was sitting down in a gathering and a sheikh from Syria who doesn't speak a word of English came and some people asked him, that was maybe 20 years ago. A man asked him, yeah, sheikh, there is a Zionist company in America called Visa and a Zionist company called MasterCard. They take our money and they kill our brothers in Palestine. Is it okay to take their money and not give it back to them? The sheikh had no idea what is Visa or MasterCard. He said, yes, if you're preventing the death of innocent people, do it. So the sheikh told him it's halal. But he knows in his heart, he doesn't care about the Palestinians. He cares about his bank account. That's all what he cares about. See the difference? Sometimes you can go to sheikh and give him a project or a business project. And he say, yeah, it's okay. But deep in your heart, do you believe it's okay? Halalan tayyiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, try your best to earn your income halal and good, legal and good, lawful and good. These are the two conditions to make sure that your income is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we try to trick the system, or when we try to go around the halal, and we try to do things against the teachings of our religion, there are so many harms to that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ لَحْمٍ نَبَتَ مِنْ سُحْتٍ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. Every single piece of flesh in your body that was fed by haram income, it will be burned in the fire. Ya Allah, before you put the piece of meat in the mouth of your kids, ask yourself, where is that coming from? Before you put the jacket on your young daughter, ask yourself, is this a piece of fire? Before you allow yourself to earn a penny, illegally, unlawfully, haram, ask yourself, is that going to burn in the fire? Another harm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept your deeds, your salah, your dua, your fasting, that would not be accepted if your normal lifestyle, that your income is haram. A man died in the battlefield. The companion said, oh, he's a shaheed. He's going to Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. I see him in the hellfire because he stole a piece of garment. A shaheed. A man is traveling in the desert and raising Allah, Ya Allah, making dua. So he is in a very humiliating, humble position. So his dua should be accepted. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, because his income is all from haram. His food are haram and his drink is haram. One of the horrible things that could happen to us on the day of judgment is the big scandal. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ By Allah, لَا يَغِلُّ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَالِ الْحَرَامِ شَيْئًا Anyone who earns a little bit of haram income, إِلَّا وَيَأْتِي حَامِلَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَىٰ عُنُقِهِ They will come carrying it on their shoulder on the day of judgment. It's not a joke, brothers and sisters. Start the new year making sure that all your income is halal. Some of the forms of haram income that are unfortunately common in the society, and some of us might be falling into it, is stealing. Now, some might say stealing, we'll never go rob a bank or rob a gas station. But there are other kinds of stealing that you can be doing without you knowing. How many times you turn on a service, cable, electricity, and you're not getting bills? By mistake, the company is not billing you. Oh, I've been getting free electricity for the past 3 years. Every penny you owe them is haram income. Sometimes someone gives you something, but you don't deserve it. You didn't pay for it. If you did not, and you think it's okay, ask them. Ask the company. If they tell you, yeah, it's free, that's fine. But if they tell you, no, you have to pay for it, and you did not pay for it, it's haram income. When the company, your business, your employer give you a credit card, tell you, here, put gas for business traveling, for business expenses. And then you use it for personal expenses. That's haram income. That's stealing. Even as simple. I don't know, some sisters like to do that. They go to a restaurant. They like a plate. They like a salt and pepper shaker. They put it in their purse. And they have a collection at home of this from that restaurant, this from that restaurant. This is stealing, haram. When your son comes to you from school because and he took a toy from his friend or a candy without his permission, make sure he returns it back. Because this little piece of toy or little candy will change to millions of dollars of embezzlement in the future. All this is stealing. Another form of haram income that's very common nowadays is lawsuits. Lawsuits. I get the best attorney. Divorce court. Oh my goodness. So sad to hear about the things. You believe that Allah is Ar-Razzaq, sisters and brothers. You believe that Allah will give you this income. Get it the halal way. If it's not meant to be yours, wallahi, it will not be yours. But you will get the sin of trying to get it in the haram way. I have a good attorney. I know the judge or so and so. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if two people come to me to solve a financial dispute between them, but one of them presented his case better to me and I ruled for him, then it's a piece of fire. It's up to him to take it or not. Before you hire the best attorney, before you go and fight your own brother for inheritance, before you fight your community members for finance, ask yourself, is this my right? Is this mine? Because if it's not, it's a haram income. Promising your employees, if you do this, I'll give you a bonus. Then changing your mind because nothing written in a contract, it's haram income. The examples are so many. People using the credit card, right and left, and then filing, oh, I don't have money to pay for it. We're knowing that they're going to do that. That's haram income. It's not a joke, brothers and sisters. Haram income is not a joke. It's scary. Yes, it should be scary. But look at it from the other way. Won't you be happy that your employees know it's haram to steal? Won't you be happy that all the communities around you know it's haram to steal? Won't you be happy that your kids know it's haram to take money from your pocket? When everyone knows it's haram to earn money in it's not right to earn money in the haram way, all of us as a society will benefit. Also spending money, make sure it's spent in halal. Gambling, lottery, these are haram expenses. Buying clothes, sisters, that are revealing, that's haram income, haram spending. Anytime you spend something, money on something that Allah does not like, is considered haram expense. And let's try our best not to be ungrateful to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by spending it on haram. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who understand the concept of rizq. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who believe in Ar-Razzaq and practice that in their lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of us will understand and try our best to make this year a year that all of our income is halal 100%. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we ask you to pure our income, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us rizq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you if any of us going through financial hardship or financial dispute to make it easy on them in this year, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if any of us is looking for a job, we ask you to grant him a good job sooner, not later, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, if anyone's going through any financial dispute or courts, Ya Allah, we ask you to solve it in the best way that will please you in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen. Allahumma aghfir al-muslimina wal-muslimat wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat innaka ya rabbana sami'un qareebun mujibu al-da'awat عباد الله إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدس حيث قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وأقم الصلاة. Inshallah, there'll be a janazah prayer after the salah, and we'll make some dua for some of the brothers and sisters who are sick or passed away.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah. Qad qamati as-salah, qad qamati as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Stawil as-salah, straighten your lines, close the gaps shoulder to shoulder. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina الصراط المستقيم, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم وفي الأرض آيات للموقنين وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون فورب السماء والأرض إنه لحق مثل ما أنكم تنطقون. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. السلام عليكم. إن شاء الله. We have a janaza prayer for Sister Nadia Ibrahim. We extend our condolences to her family. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower her with his blessing and mercy, inshallah. We make dua shifa for those who are sick. Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Haytham Bundukji, Brother Bilal Dalati, Brother Ashqar Sayyid, Sister Rima Dalati, Sister Amina Simji, Sister Diane Ruzik, Sister Sabina Hassan, Dr. Sameen Nadeem, Brother Salah Siddiqui, Brother Saif Al-Burq Al-Barqi, and Sister Amal Tu'ma. We also pray maghfira for those who passed away. Brother Abdul Fadi, Brother Baydul Alam, Brother Ahmed Muni', Brother Ismail Wasi, Brother Rafat Ali, Brother Atif Rashad, Brother Waleed Sirhal. We also pray for Brother Salim Ahmed, Sister Sayyida Abida, and the family of Ayub, Kamal, Keval, and Kever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those who passed away, grant them maghfirah and forgiveness, grant them the highest levels of Jannah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are ill or those who are sick to give them speedy recovery and grant them shifa sooner or not later. Allahumma aghfir lahum arhamhum ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma rabban nas, malikan nas, adhib al-ba's. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيهم. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وحاضرنا وغائبنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم أن أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن أمته منا فأمته على الإيمان. اللهم لا تحرمنا أجرهم ولا تفتنا بعدهم. آمين آمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد.
Perfect. Here. Who's with you?
So the family of the person who passed away, we ask you to come forward. Allow them to come to the front row, please. Any family or close relatives?
Close family members.
We are praying janazah for Sister Nadia Ibrahim. Her family is here with me in the front. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive her. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her family strength and patience to go through this difficult time. It's not an easy thing to lose a mother. So, but we can always do birr after they depart this world. We can always make dua for them. We can always pray for them. We can always ask people to forgive them. And we can always do sadaqah on their behalf. So my advice to the loved ones and the families that keep the birr in your mother for many years to come, even though she's not with us in this world. And inshallah, we pray that you will be united with her in Jannah, inshallah, in the highest levels of Jannah, inshallah. For those who are here for the first time to pray janazah, janazah prayer is for takbirat. We just stand, no ruku' or no sujood. We say Allahu Akbar, and then after that we recite Surah Al-Fatiha and a short surah. And then we say the second Allahu Akbar, and then we recite As-Salah al-Ibrahimiyyah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad until fil alameena innaka hamidun majid. The third takbira, we just make dua for the person who passed away. And the fourth takbira, we make short dua for ourselves and we make salam. There's a slight difference between Eid takbirat and janazah takbirat that we do not raise our hands in the takbirat in Salat al-Janazah, as it's not a place of celebration like the Eid prayer. استوى للصلاة الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد كما باركت على العالمين انك حميد مجيد الله اكبر اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا وحاضرنا وغائبنا اللهم اللهم اغفر لها وارحمها اللهم اغفر لها وارحمها اللهم اغفر لها وارحمها اللهم ادخلها الفردوس الاعلى يا ارحم الراحمين اللهم اشف اللهم ارحمها اللهم اغفر لها اللهم اغفر لها الله اكبر اللهم لا تحرمنا اجرها ولا تفتنا بعدها السلام عليكم ورحمه الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله التواب
Westminster? Allah yitqabbal ya habib Allah. Westminster? Rose Hill? Okay. So. Yes, so they'll take it. Exactly, and then you'll